We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And I wanted to cry, and I wanted to yell and scream, but the emotion that hit me was chuckling. And I thought, you got to be kidding me.
Wow.
I know, it was terrible. I mean, it was... Something was going to happen. It was either going to be tears, or I was going to scream, or I was going to chuckle, and I ended up chuckling. Not by choice.
You know, when I listen to this music, I think, what's a good way to tell a story in a happy way? And the only thing I can ever think of is the Smiths and Morrissey. I mean, does it get any better than Girlfriend in a Coma? I know. It's really serious, and he says it with a smile? I mean, that's where I'm at. Oh, you do not have that. If you have that, I am shocked. Okay, good.
No, I do not.
Okay.
I know the song you're talking about all
the
time.
I mean, it's like, girlfriend in a coma, I know. Okay. You know, you're just
thanks,
like, whoa.
That's plenty. This doesn't make me feel any better.
Oh, good. Let's keep on rolling with the hits.
Ravens had a 21-point lead on the Dolphins. They blew it. Raiders were up 20-0 on the Cardinals. They blew it. Browns come up with this debacle. They blew it. Jerry Pluto, according to ESPN, last time any NFL team blew a 13-point lead in the final 2 minutes was in 2001.
Oh, your Cleveland Browns.
It was.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Stop, Bears.
Even back then, though, Andy, 21-7 lead with 33 seconds left in the game, and the Browns lost. 216-578-0092. We're going to break some of this stuff down. We're going to talk about certain aspects of the game. Some of them were actually really good. But let's get started by letting some folks vent on a Browns Therapy Monday. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we can sit here, and I'm sure it's all going to go over, is we can go criticize all the stupid things that some of the players did. But for me, the bottom line is it's all coaching. Coaching's job is to have players ready for four quarters. But the most glaring thing for me was that last series where we were on their 40-yard line, first and 10. And what are the types of running plays that have the biggest chance of losing yardage? End sweeps. He ran two end sweeps, lost yardage, and then, of course, Brissett got tackled, and we were out of field goal range. For me, the play calling was real simple there. Just run the ball up the gut, get 2 or 3 yards, 4 yards, and if you're lucky, you can get a first down. If not, go for the field goal. That literally, no matter how much time is left, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, took the game out of reach for the Jets. I'm not a Stefanski fan, have never been a Stefanski fan, and I am so adamant about that. I don't even know with his play calling near the ends of games and stuff whether Deshaun Watson is going to make a big difference for this team as long as he's the head coach.
Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom.
You'd be hard-pressed to say that Deshaun Watson would play better than Jacoby Brissett did yesterday. Now, he might make some big plays, might. And I don't say that to disparage Deshaun Watson's football abilities by any stretch. I say it to say that Jacoby Brissett played pretty well yesterday.
I thought he fixed the problems that he had the week before.
Yep.
And he played with more confidence. And I just, he just, I.
He's not a big play guy, Andy.
No.
He's not going to do Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to do Deshaun Watson. But he didn't hurt you yesterday.
No, he didn't. And he corrected the problems that we saw last Sunday.
Yep.
That was the bigger, that was a win. His play was a win yesterday. And again, the only way he's really going to hurt the offense is if he throws interceptions. And I don't blame him for throwing. I mean, would have been nice. We still had a timeout. Maybe they could have done something a little different on that play instead of him trying to force it down the middle. But we had a timeout. I get it. But you didn't put him in he was in a situation he never should have been in the first place. And when that happens, people try to do more than they're capable of or consistently capable of. And so that's why you throw the interception at the end of the game.
And it would have been really sweet if for the second week in a row he had been able to get them into some kind of field goal position.
I mean, even with 22 seconds and one timeout, I was like, all right, the kid made a mistake. Let's give him another shot. I mean, kicking is pretty simple. You line up, you snap the ball, you place the ball, and then you kick your fans right in the groin. That's how it works.
Nice.
It's the new way to do it.
You know, here's the really scary part. They had the game against Carolina, right? You thought.
Yeah.
They gave up 17 fourth quarter points.
Yeah.
They clearly had the game against the Jets, right? They gave up 17 fourth quarter points.
Oh, I know.
Now, you can say that's all on the players because they're not playing hard enough. Okay. I agree with that. But what is a coach's job? A coach, and I don't mean Kevin, I mean all of them. A coach's job is to have your guys playing. You're supposed to play. You heard John Johnson say, some guys had the signals we're receiving, but weren't sending or sending and whatever he said exactly. Well, guess what? Okay, the players might not have done that. Who is supposed to coach them to have those signals lined up and good to go? I mean, so it's the player's fault. They let down at the end of the game. But yes, it's the coach's fault because they had players let down on them and maybe didn't get the right signals. So you can't really single out anybody here, not even a whole unit. It's the defensive coaches. It's the defensive players at the end of the game. I mean, it's clearly that simple. And the Nick Chubb thing where he scored a touchdown, sorry. You should have been up 14, under 2 minutes to go, no timeouts for the Jets. All you have to do is play just a little bit of defense, and you win that game. Josh is in Florida. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yes, sir.
Thankful for Jacoby Brissett. He made me eat crow. He looked much better. But if we had Deshaun Watson and the same thing happened, he threw a pick at that end of that game like Jacoby, we'd be murdering Deshaun. Like some of the fans. Not me. I wouldn't. But you know people would be going insane on Deshaun at that.
Again, same problem. I mean, the quarterback wasn't the problem yesterday. The team put him in position to do something.
And I 100% agree. I watched a lot of Jacoby last year. I'm here in Florida. A lot of him last year. That was the best Jacoby game I saw. I was like, made me eat crow. That was awesome. It helps when you have Amari Cooper, who just runs beautiful routes all day. Thank God for Nick Chubb. And I just agree with you guys. You're just saying, like, I know it's not Kevin Stefanski's fault. I know a little bit about football. I know it's not his fault. But I'm getting sick and tired of hearing that it's his fault. And last season, the first thing – you guys did an interview with him after that great playoff run we had in 2020. The first thing he said on your guys' interview is he's really happy that he retained his coaching staff. What is the old saying? Show me your friends and I'll show you exactly who you are. Well, Stefanski, even in a playoff game where thank God we had Baker and Nick Chubb going off, we were up 28 points or wherever it was against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they still almost came back. And you weren't there, Stefanski. Your coaching staff was. So when is it going to be enough? When is someone going to take accountability? When is someone not going to blame the fans? I know Myles Garrett's a beast, but he sounded like Myles Mayfield out there. I don't want to hear you being mad at the fans. You just historically did something that hasn't been done since 2001. And guess what? We were the ones who did that last time. I'm just getting sick of this new way of being historically bad or losing historically bad. Like, thank God we have a bounce back week. But I don't know. Pittsburgh still has a good defense. I don't know what's going to happen in that game. These games like this can deflate a locker room.
Josh, most important question I'm going to ask you today about the game. Ready?
Yeah.
Do you feel better right now? You got that off your chest?
That's a pretty good vent.
That was good.
Oh, so much better. Thank you, guys.
Okay, we're here for you, Josh, man. That's why we're fake doctors.
Talk to you tomorrow.
We play one on the radio. I'm going to talk about the Myles Garrett thing here in a minute because I'll talk about it right now. I want Miles to walk that back.
Do you want the cut, Andy?
Yeah, play it, will you?
Here's Myles Garrett in his post-game press conference when asked about booing after the game.
Disappointing thing was the booing at the end. Not the most optimal ending that we'd want. You know, we'd want to win. Of course, we want to play out the game and, you know, it end 30-16 or 30-17, whatever it was. You know, we get a pick or a strip sack and end the game, but that's not always how it goes.
All right, and then he went on to say that, you know, he'll take the blame too. I get it. Miles, man. And I think people are a little bit more realistic because of Miles' ability on the field compared to some of the drama that surrounded Baker Mayfield, which was, you know, virtually the same thing as what he said about blaming the fans. Here's my point. Miles, listen, dude, I get it. It was the moment afterwards. I hope you walk that back today or tomorrow and say, you know, it was the end of the game. I was still emotional. I wasn't happy, just like the fans weren't happy. And the more I think about it, I understand why they booed. That would have been a good way to go about it yesterday rather than saying what you said yesterday. I just think that, you know, Miles, your fans are there. They pay a lot of money to park. They pay a lot of money for those tickets. They pay a lot of money for beers. They pay a lot of money to watch a team not fail in the last 2 minutes with a historic loss. So you've got a couple things that can happen at the end of the game. If you're going to accept the cheers when you do something good, it's just the emotion of the fans that if something doesn't go right, they're booing. As long as they're not throwing crap on the field. That's the second time I've said that today. I got to quit using that word. As long as the fans aren't throwing anything on the field, it's emotion, and it's because they care. That's why they're booing. They're mad just like you are about what happened. I mean, you're looking at a couple things. They can cheer you when you do something good. They might boo you when you do something bad. But yesterday, the worst thing could have happened is that you would have heard nothing. You know why? Because they were dead over the choke at the end of the game yesterday. You would have heard nothing at the end of the game.
And how about this?
So
what if at the end of the game, and I get it, you said that very well.
Just walk it back today.
Well, that's a good
idea. I'm okay with it.
But how did you want your fans to feel at the end of the game? Did you want them to applaud you for a fine effort all day? Because if you did, then the players should have applauded each other at the end of the game and said, man, we played really hard all day. We just kind of fell apart at the end. But it's okay, fellas. Nice job.
And you can expect mediocrity.
Miles didn't feel that way at the end of the game. So why should the fans feel that way at the end of the game?
Right. So, exactly.
Exactly.
So I really hope that Miles walks that back today or tomorrow. And like, I totally get it. We know what it's like. I think anyone that's ever played any game that saw something go, you know, there was a problem at the end of the game and you were mad at the end of the game and it was the emotion of the end of the game. I get it. I understand it. You probably thought that because you were looking for a reason to figure out things. Walk it back today, Miles. It's a good move because your fans don't hate you. They love you. And, you know, to start blaming the fans is not a good look.
Kevin Stefanski is coming up at noon. You're going to want to hear that. You're going to hear it right here on 92.3 The Fan. Noon, Kevin Stefanski. Get ready for that. Scott Petrak, 11 o'clock from the Chronicle-Telegram. Can't wait to hear what Scott thinks about what happened yesterday. And you, 216-578-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps on a Browns Therapy Monday. Nice, Dan. Scott Petrak's coming up at 11 o'clock. Looking forward to talking with Scott. Then I want to hear Kevin Stefanski at noon. I feel for Kevin. He called a heck of an offensive game yesterday. I thought they did a really nice job. I thought he put Jacoby Brissett in position to play well, and Jacoby did. They ran the ball 30 times with the running backs. They gained 147 yards or something great. It was a well-coached offensive game.
Till the end.
Okay, so the guy scored a touchdown and another guy didn't run out of bounds. You're up 13 points with 1:55 to play. End of story.
Yeah, I don't know. I might go off Twitter today. There's a lot of tweets today.
Okay, I bet there are.
Should I? I mean, there's a lot of good tweets.
Well, let's talk to Fred first.
Andy, Twitter is the window in your kitchen. When you've had enough of your neighbors, shut the window.
Oh, remember, nothing good comes from up here on the Twitter.
Are they tweets? Is that a fair word?
Fred's in Maple Heights. Yeah. He's not a twittiot. He's Fred.
Hey, Hi, Fred.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, gentlemen? The number one thing, like that last call, I'm just like, man, I couldn't wait till somebody said it. Accountability. And accountability, it just seems not to be there with this team, man. And when you said you chuckled, Jeff, I did the same thing. You know, I just said when we was going with second half and we was playing good, if you're a Browns fan, you've been a Browns fan for a long time, and you got a lead, you got to already know, like, to hold on to your seat. Because what do we do just about every time? We blow it, man. And something that's bothering me also, too, man, the hype in Cleveland, I got to say, we got to stop the hype until these guys prove something. We hyped up Baker. We hyped up all of these people. We hyped up this kicker who kicks 85-yard field goals but can't make one from 5 feet away. And I, even though that one point probably wouldn't – it would have tied us up, it's just we put so much on these people, man. And the scheme – it's just so many different things. Like, the schemes are readable. I can't read defenses that well, but I can see them enough where – some of the stuff that's going on out there, you can almost tell what they're doing, man. And I called in last week and I said that one of the main things I think is going to be something is to get the defense off the field. If you keep the Browns defense on the field time and time after again, bum quarterbacks figure out where the soft spot's at in the defense. And I just don't understand it. And that other caller was right, too. Like, you coming in under other people, like, did we retain the same defensive staff and offensive staff that was here with Freddie Kitchens and them? Are those people still there? Because I don't know their names. You only get to hear the Joe Woods and
– they are not. Different staff.
You said they're not there?
Nope, different staff.
So then, are they all reading or like you said, when the players come in, it's like they give them this book where everybody needs to know dog pound. Dog pound. All the young players who 18, 19, dog pound. The history of the dog. Are they all coming into the same playbook for the defense? And like, you guys, no matter what, you guys come in with your own playbooks, but this is the playbook that we use all the time here. So let's just try to make this playbook work that we could never work. It almost feels unreal at times, man. And another thing, I just don't understand Stefanski, man. Like, can we go to an offensive coordinator for real? And can he just – why pay these guys all that money just to stand there with a headset on? I don't understand it. We were running to the outside. It wasn't working. We had success when we started running back inside, and they got away from it. And you just needed a couple more inside plays, man, because they were looking for the outside run the whole game, man. So I'm just confused, man. Can Stefanski please go give up the OC to somebody else? And I'll listen to you off the air.
Fred, thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Andy, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with
him giving up the play call?
No, I don't have a problem, to be honest, either way. I thought the offense did a nice job yesterday. I wanted to see them run the football more this year. They're running the football, and they're really running it well. You know, he's not shying away from it. He's not forcing Jacoby Brissett to throw the ball a ton. I think they're doing a nice job. But I thought of this, and it was, I think it was said last night on the Sunday night telecast. Matt Eberflus is the new coach of the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
And they lost last night to the Packers, and they didn't look really good doing it. But he was a defensive coordinator in Indy and did a nice job. And they said he came in here but decided that he wanted to concentrate on being a head coach. And so he was not going to call the defense. And look at what happened yesterday. Kevin Stefanski called the offense. It went pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't overseeing the special teams because, let's be fair to him, if you're calling the offense – When your defense is on the field, you're probably thinking what's coming up offensively. And if you're not, well, then maybe you're not giving enough to the offense and you're not really worried about the special teams. You have a coordinator for that. Maybe to help the entire team, Kevin needs to give up the offense. Not because the offense isn't working. Maybe you need another set of eyes on the special teams and another set of eyes on the defense, more so than he's able to do now while also calling the offensive plays.
It's funny, that's right, and I hate to go to the Ohio State well twice in 1 hour, but that's exactly what happened at Ohio State. I don't know if you caught the story. I don't know if it was it the Arkansas State game that they were talking about the story where Gene Smith and Ryan Day were talking, and Gene said to Ryan, he goes, listen, you need to hire a defensive coordinator. And by the way, those guys make as much if
big
not
bucks.
More than NFL guys do. He said, you need to hire a defensive coordinator that is the head coach of the defense. And that's why they went out and got Jim Knowles. You are hiring a head coach of the defense. And Gene said that to him. And I think that empowered Ryan Day to do what he did. So, I don't really like comparing college and NFL.
So is Joe Woods the head coach of the defense?
That's the way. Well, I don't know. I don't know that's how Kevin looks at it. I don't know. You tell me. What do you think?
All I know is that
he's in charge of the defense.
The defense,
but is he the
collapsed
head coach
yesterday.
Of the defense?
Is it Joe Woods' fault? Yeah. Is it the players' fault? Yeah. The special teams didn't work yesterday. Is that all on Mike Prefer? Yeah. Is it on the players? Yeah. It's on everybody. Maybe you need another set of eyes really concentrating on all of that, and maybe Kevin could do more of that if he wasn't calling the offensive plays. Andy, I'm just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Here's what I'll say.
They played well enough to win a football game pretty convincingly yesterday.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you just kind of feel like I'm not saying fire anybody.
Nope.
I'm just saying you might want to think about some kind of a change here, because this is now 2 weeks in a row. I mean, think about how
17 fourth quarter points 2 weeks in a row.
And how fragile a game can be.
Yeah.
You know, you got a rookie kicker. If he would have missed the kick last week, you're 0-2.
Andy, they,
but this week, if you get one more first down or you do something, now you're 2-0.
They coughed up the game last week to Baker Mayfield and the Panthers.
Yeah.
Coughed it up.
Yes.
And then the Panthers lost to the Giants yesterday. And the Giants aren't very good. So that tells you, you know, maybe what kind of a victory you actually had. So that's 2 weeks in a row where things went south late in the game against two teams that you expected to beat.
The Browns had a 99.9% chance of winning. Somebody just sent this to me. It was on their probability factor, that ESPN thing they do. They had a 99.9% chance of winning when Nick Chubb ran the ball in for his third touchdown.
Nice.
It's an epic fail.
Turk is in Houston, Texas.
Hey, Turk.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
It's an awful, awful morning. So this is really just very simple what happened yesterday, okay? A lot of things went wrong throughout the football game. You could cite a dropped punt or the defense being more porous than a colander, but when you call a first and 10 run play from the 12-yard line and there's 2 minutes and 2 seconds left on the clock, your running back should be told that his only option is to go down. So we don't want to blame Nick Chubb because he's the hero that we deserve, because he's Batman. Great people make mistakes. And he made a mistake yesterday, and that's it. Everything else, that wasn't the final mistake in the game.
Turk, you're kidding me that we're blaming Nick Chubb for the loss. Is that what you're saying?
That's where we start the conversation.
Oh, I can start the conversation before that, but come on. I'm not telling a running back not to get in the end zone. I mean, I'm not, as a coach, I might tell him not to get in the end zone, but I can't think that a running back's natural instinct isn't to get into the end zone. And blaming Nick Chubb for scoring is the least of their problems yesterday. How about recovering an onside kick? How about, you know, staying in bounds? I can think of 100 things to be mad about, and being mad at Nick Chubb is not one of them. I'm not going to be mad at him for that. I'm not blaming him for the loss.
I'm not mad at Nick Chubb. It was a strategic error that was made. There's no emotion in this situation. You down the football, and then you get into victory formation. That's it. That's how football works. Take all these guys' names off the back of these jerseys. Take the Browns' name off the front of the jersey and tell me strategically that you don't down the football and go into victory formation. That was an error by
How often do you see – I mean, Nick, you're in Houston. How often have you seen that play? How often does that play happen? Okay, I've seen quarterbacks do it before. I've rarely seen – like when he did that last year, I was like, dude, that's Mensa. That's great. That's awesome. Because you just don't see it very often. True?
Right.
You agree with me on that? Okay.
I agree. Hey, but listen, Andy.
Yeah.
Because the defense was so bad yesterday, because everything is going wrong and everything looked bad, you have to make a decision based on the potential for error that came to pass in the rest of that football game. You down the football, you get into victory formation, and we're 2-0. There's a lot of other things that need to be fixed that could still be highlighted today on a victory Monday. They should have downed that football. You can blame whoever you want. They should have downed that football and gone into victory formation. That's it.
Turk, you know I respect you too. So
and
I respect.
Matters.
I like his phone calls. Oh, I think he's good.
Yeah.
I cannot get mad.
Or Andy.
Can you really get mad at Chubb for going in the end zone yesterday?
No, I'm not.
Especially knowing that you assumed that you were going up 14.
And
you had a 99.9% chance of winning. 99.9.
No, I'm not. You had a 13-point lead with 1:55 to play. Make a defensive play. Recover an onside kick. I mean, then make another defensive. Though Turk's scenario is correct. Come on, man. You're supposed to be up 14 points and it started with a missed extra point. And all you had to do was make one play. They didn't have any timeouts. 1:55, no timeouts. And they had to recover an onside kick, and they pulled it off. Scott Petrank covers this stuff for the Chronicle-Telegram. And Scott is next on Baskin and Phelps. Don't forget Kevin Stefanski's press conference, noon. You'll hear it right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.